So let's open our Bibles once again to 2 Kings chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 16 and we'll read right on through the end of the chapter. Here we have a small break in the life and times of Elisha so that we'll know what's going on down in the southern kingdom of Judah at the same time that Elisha is ministering up in the north. In verses 16 through 24, we have the reign of Jehoram, king of Judah. And then in verses 25 through 29, we have the reign of Ahaziah, king of Judah. So let's read 2 Kings 8, verses 16 through 24, the reign of Jehoram, king of Judah. Now in the fifth year of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram, or Jehoram, went to Zair and all his chariots with him. And he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. But his people fled to their tents. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And Libnah revolted at that time. Now the rest of the acts of Joram, or Jehoram, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. So what about background notes? When the names Jehoram and Ahaziah are mentioned as kings of Judah, you're probably saying, now wait a minute, I thought Jehoram and Ahaziah were kings of Israel, not kings of Judah. Well, what's the answer here? Are they kings of the northern kingdom of Israel or are they kings of the southern kingdom of Judah? The answer is both. Gets a little confusing here. There was a king Ahaziah and a king Joram or Jehoram of the northern kingdom of Israel. And there also was a king Ahaziah and a king Joram or Jehoram of the southern kingdom of Judah. They come in reverse order. In the northern kingdom of Israel, Ahaziah came first. He was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And when he died, he had no son, so his brother Jehoram became the king. In the south, Jehoram comes first. He's the son of Jehoshaphat, and when he dies, his son Ahaziah becomes king. Now, from verse 18, you see that the situation gets even a little bit more complicated because there's a marriage relationship between these two kingdoms. King Jehoram of Judah marries the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her name was Athaliah. And therefore, both King Ahaziah and King Jehoram of the northern kingdom of Israel, who are brothers to Athaliah, would be then brothers-in-law to King Jehoram down in the southern kingdom of Judah. More we could say there, but we need to move to our doctrinal point from this section. And it's this. God's faithfulness is taught in Judah's history. God's faithfulness is taught in Judah's history. Look at verse 19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. In spite of the unfaithfulness that we see here in this record, God is faithful. The doors had been opened up wide for idolatry to come into Judah. And Jehoram was the cause. But God had made a promise to David. Let's read that promise. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. The lamp of the Davidic kingdom would never go out, because Christ would be in the line of David. God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his promises to us. Let's just take one promise. Think of the promise in the last verse of Psalm 23, familiar psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. God is faithful. Lamentations 3:23, great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful, and God's faithfulness is taught here in Judah's history. Practical application. Who you marry will greatly affect your commitment. Who you marry will greatly affect your commitment. King Jehoram of Judah had a godly grandfather, King Asa, and a godly father, King Jehoshaphat, both good and godly kings. But look at verse 18. And he, that is Jehoram, walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. Why? Here's the answer. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Athaliah, the daughter of wicked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, affected Jehoram, King Jehoram of Judah, much more than his godly father and grandfather did. Both of those good kings had brought reforms into Judah, but King Jehoram brought more idolatry into Judah. And verse 18 says it was because the daughter of Ahab was his wife. Who you marry will greatly affect your commitment. Let's move on to the next section. So let's read verses 25 through 29 now. And here we have the account of the reign of Ahaziah. 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 25. In the 12th year of Joram, or King Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went with Joram, or Jehoram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram, or Jehoram. Then King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, or Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. All right, once again, some background notes. Again, you can see with the Ahaziahs and Jehorams how confusing it can be because they're both in the north and in the south. In verses 25 and 26, we see that King Ahaziah of Judah is the son of Jehoram, king of Judah. And Ahaziah's mother then would be Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab, and as we see here, the granddaughter of Omri. In verse 28, Ahaziah goes with Jehoram of the north, son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. Well, in this war, King Jehoram of Israel is wounded, and he goes to Jezreel to recover. And now King Ahaziah of Judah goes down to Jezreel as well to see how King Jehoram of Israel is doing. Remember, with the relationships here, King Jehoram of Israel would be the uncle to King Ahaziah of Judah. And that's probably why Ahaziah is going down there to Jezreel also to see how his uncle is doing. Well, you read chapter 9 where we'll get to, both of them are killed there by Jehu. So much for background notes. What about doctrine? One point, of course, would be that God is giving us accurate history here. This is not fairy tale stuff, right? These are real people, real history. But now, what doctrinal point could we draw from this section? Well, now, here's the doctrinal point I drew from this section. God's grace is seen in Judah's history. God's grace is seen in Judah's history. Now, you might say, where is God's grace seen here anyway? In the genealogy. It's often pointed out that you can see the grace of God in the genealogy of Christ. If you trace all the relationships in the genealogy of Christ, you certainly see the grace of God. For example, you have the incestuous relationship between Tamar and Judah in the genealogy of Christ. You have Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute, in the genealogy of Christ. You have Ruth, the outsider from Moab, in the genealogy of Christ. You have the adulterous relationship between David and Bathsheba in the genealogy of Christ. Did you realize that Ahab, wicked King Ahab, and wicked Queen Jezebel also tie into the genealogy of Christ? You say, where do you see that? You see it right here. King Jehoram of Judah married Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. They are parents, as we've seen, of Ahaziah of Judah. And Ahaziah is in the line of Christ as one of the kings of Judah. God's grace is seen in Judah's history. Not only, as we saw before, God's faithfulness is seen in Judah's history, God's grace is seen in Judah's history. Now, what about practical application from this section? Make your children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority. Make your children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was a good and godly king, but he did not make his children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority. Jehoshaphat actually engineered the marriage between his son Jehoram and Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel from the north. Why? For political reasons. Let me just read 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Look at the results. Jehoram, his son, now does not walk in the ways of the Lord because of the marriage, as we've seen. And as we've just seen here, Jehoram's son, King Ahaziah, he does not walk in the ways of the Lord. What a sad heritage. And it all goes back to Jehoshaphat not making his children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority. Now, most of you here this morning don't have children. And so you might think, well, how does this apply to me? Well, it especially applies to you because most of you in the not too distant future will have children. Make sure your children's spiritual and moral inheritance is a top priority. You know, I know of several family situations right now where the children and grandchildren of godly couples no longer follow the Lord. Why? Because those godly couples did not make their children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority. And in some cases, it was because they were so involved in the ministry. Being involved in the ministry is very important, but not to the neglect of your children's spiritual and moral inheritance. Make your children's spiritual and moral inheritance a top priority.